Have your Bibles this evening, which you will. Please be turning with me over to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. We're glad to see everyone back here this evening. I want to be talking about what we read here in verses 1 through 3 of Hebrews chapter 12 concerning the Christian life. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. If you will, begin reading with me there in verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which doth easily so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God of the throne of God, or at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. In verse 1, we're told of a race, that we are to run this race. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Most oftentimes when we think of a race, we think of a competition between two or more people where one is trying to make it to the finish line before all others. And we crown him the winner and the others are second best. I grew up hearing about second place. Second place, I'd always been taught and I'd always seen on, I've seen it on bumper stickers, I've seen it on t-shirts, second place is just the first loser. It's the way it had always been portrayed to me. Well, friends, the Christian race is different. It's an unusual race in several ways. We're going to discuss those ways tonight. It is a most unusual race because, number one, everyone can win. Everyone can win. Again, when we think of races, we think of Olympians setting personal best records, and yet they will lose by inches, maybe even miles, by fractions of a second or maybe minutes. Many will sit and weep in defeat. Yet when we think of the Christian race, friends, we win simply by finishing what we start. All we must do as Christians to win this race is to finish. Cross that finish line. We run only according to our own ability. And we're not held in comparison to those of greater or lesser ability. We run according to our own ability. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30, we read there of the parable of the talents as we best know it. Friends, if we were to go and we were to read that parable, and I would encourage you to do so on your own, we see there that he gave to his servants, this king that went to a far country, he gave to his servants each talent. One he gave five, to another two, to another one. But notice that he gave to each of them according to their ability. They were only expected to do what their ability would allow them to do. They weren't expected to perform above and beyond what their ability, what they were capable of. We run according to our ability. We see that in the parable of the talents. 2 Corinthians 8, 10 through 12. Let's look at that passage. Keep a finger there at Hebrews chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I want to notice a couple of passages there in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Begin reading with me in verse 10. Paul writing says, "And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago." He's talking to them about giving here. Verse 11, "Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have." Now verse 12 here is key concerning our lesson tonight, concerning this race. Verse 12, "For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not." Friend, it is expected of us, of what we have, not what we have not, but what we have to offer. Jesus said of the woman that broke that bottle of ointment on his head, and Judas complained about that, we could have taken this and sold it for so much. What was Jesus' response to that? She hath done what she could. Friends, that's all God expects of us in running this race. We run according to our own ability. If we turn over to chapter 10 here in the same book and look at verse 12, we read, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and compare themselves among themselves are not wise." Friends, when we think of the race that we are to run, when we think of this Christian race, to whom are we or to what are we to compare ourselves? We talked about in our Bible class this morning, 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. We are to examine our own selves. How? By what? Friends, by the Word of God. We must run this race according to God's Word. We'll notice more on that in just a moment. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5 gives us some more insight in running this race. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. "And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned," notice the exception, "except he strive lawfully." Except he strive lawfully. We can go back to the Olympics and we can look at some of these Olympic runners. Some of them in recent years have been stripped of their medals because they did not run according to the rules. They were found to have used performance-enhancing drugs. There was recently a Tour de France winner, I think 2 years ago, American, that was stripped of his title because he had been found to use steroids. He had not run the race according to the rules. In the Baseball Hall of Fame, there are going to be a few from the past 20 years that are going to have asterisks by their name because of their records because they did not participate according to the rules. Friends, what we learn from here in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 5, we will be crowned only if we strive, if we run this race according to God's rules, according to His law. We must stay within His boundaries. When a man is running a race in the Olympics, he must stay upon that track. He can't cut across the middle of the infield, can he? That's not fair. He'd be breaking the rules, and so he would be disqualified. Friends, if we step outside the boundaries placed upon us by God, then friends, we're breaking His rules. We will be disqualified. We must run this race according to the rules. But friends, the great thing about the Christian race is that if we do just that, everyone can win that race. Then number two, this race is unusual because participants help one another. When's the last time you saw an Olympic runner stop and help another one get up that had just fallen down? It's not going to happen. It's to their good fortune that they can beat that person and be able to be crowned the winner. But friends, the Christian race is different because we are to help one another. We can help one another. In Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, we see just that. Galatians chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, we read, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness." We see them helping one another. "Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Friends, we are to be able to lean upon each other. We are to be able to call upon one another so that we can help one another finish this race. Hebrews 3 and verse 13, and especially in Hebrews 10 verse 24, the Hebrews writer says there, "Let us consider one another." Why? "To provoke unto love and good works." Friends, are we doing that in this race? Are we helping one another? Are we considering one another? Are we doing all that we can to help our friends, our loved ones, our Christian family do all that they can to make it to heaven? When we see a brother or sister overtaken in a fault, do we go to them in love and concern and let them know, "You can do better and I can help you"? Can we do that? Are we doing that? We are to help one another in this race. A few years ago, in the Special Olympics, young man fell. Every one of them stopped, helped him up, and they all crossed the finish line arm in arm. Friends, that's a picture of the Christian race. We are to help one another up and cross that finish line arm in arm. We cannot, and friends, don't miss this. We must not be competitive in our mindset and our thinking among our brethren. And that includes our sister congregations. We're not to be competitive against one another. We're not to take the numbers that we have on our board over here and go to a sister congregation and say, look at our numbers. How do yours compare to this? It's not to be like that. We're to be helping one another in this race, not competing. We want us all to finish. We want each one of us to receive that reward, to be there in heaven. Then number three, this race is different. This race is unusual because of the runners. When you think again of the Olympics, when you think of an athlete, you think of someone that is chiseled, or you think of the marathoners. They almost look anorexic in the prime of their life. But friends, that's not the type of runners that are in the Christian race. The Christian race include not only those that may be fitness nuts, but also those that are chubby, slow, weak, and physically disabled. It includes us all. We're all to run this race. However, we must be prepared. We must all prepare and pace ourselves for the long haul. Remember, friends, the Christian race is not a sprint. It's not a full-out sprint. You're not trying to make it in 6 seconds flat. That's not what you're trying to do. You can't do it. But rather, it's a long, drawn-out race. And so, friends, we must prepare for that. We must pace ourselves. If someone wants to run a marathon, do they just go and enter? Or do they train? Prepare. Friends, I would fall over dead if I tried to run a marathon tomorrow. Run 26 and a half miles. That's not happening. Not without training. Not without being prepared. We must prepare. Notice with me Acts chapter 20. Acts 20 and verse 24. Here we find Paul. He's getting ready to go to Jerusalem. And he's been told, he's been forewarned, that if he goes there, you're going to be arrested. You're going to be taken into custody. You're going to go to prison. But notice what Paul says here in verse 24. He has prepared himself to suffer whatever must come his way. He's prepared himself to do those things. And he says there in verse 24, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Paul has prepared himself for this. He knows where he's headed. 2 Timothy 4:6-8, we cannot talk about a race, this Christian race, without looking at this passage. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. We come to the end of Paul's life. Paul has been arrested and imprisoned in Rome for the second time after having been released the first time, and now we find him there again. 2 Timothy 4, beginning in verse 6, we read, I am now ready to be offered. And the time of my departure is at hand. It's very close. It's just around the corner, Paul says. Notice now what he says in verse 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but notice this, He's prepared himself. He's fought a good fight. He's finished the course because he was prepared. He was trained. There in verse 8, the end, he says, not only is that crown going to come to him, not to him only, but unto them, all them. All of them also that love his appearing. Friends, Paul's talking about us. He's talking about me. That crown could be mine if I will run, if I will finish the race as he has finished it. If I will fight the fight as he has fought it. We must be prepared. And we must prepare ourselves. But then this Christian race is also different, number four, because of the uniforms. When we look at the athletes today, they wear these high-tech uniforms, the moisture-wicking material that gets the sweat off of their bodies. It doesn't weigh them down. It's lighter. These runners are now trying to find the lightest shoe. I heard a commercial the other day concerning a running shoe that by wearing this particular shoe, because it was so light, you could shave a tenth of a second off of your 40 time or whatever. High tech. All this science has gone into it. Friends, that's not the Christian's uniform, though. You see, the Christian's uniform, the Christian athlete, so to speak, wears a suit and tie or a dress or maybe an apron, overalls, blue jeans and a t-shirt. We must remember, friends, that modesty issues aside, we discussed those issues a few weeks ago. But those issues aside, what we wear on the outside is not so important as what is worn on the inside. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 10, concerning modesty, Paul focuses there, tells them that they shouldn't worry so much about their outward appearance, but that they should focus on the inward beauty rather than the outward. Peter echoes those sentiments in 1 Peter 3 and verse 4. He says to focus on the inward man. In Galatians 3 and verse 27, why is that? Paul says to the Galatians there that so many of us as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Friends, I heard a story one time of a man that a preacher had been studying with, finally decided to obey the gospel. The first Sunday after he obeyed the gospel, he showed up in the best clothes that he had. Of course, nobody that didn't really know him would have known that. He had on his cleanest white t-shirt and a pair of overalls. That's what he went to services in on Sunday morning. And a man focusing upon the outward appearance of this man who was wearing the best that he had, said to that man, and this man happened to be an elder in the church, sadly, I expect you to have some better clothes on come next Sunday. Friends, that man never stepped foot back inside that church building. Because one particular man focused upon that person's outward appearance rather than the inward. We must remember that. Then number five, the Christian life, the Christian race is an unusual race because of the track. When we look at NASCAR, we look at the Olympics. When they run these races, they all run the same track. They face the same obstacles, the same turns, the same opponents. But friends, when we think of the Christian race and life's race, the track varies by individual. We all face different potholes, different stumbling blocks, different hurdles. And for some, the race seems easier than for most, but the deck appears stacked against others. Friends, we must be careful to remember that all face different temptations. What may be a temptation for you may never even cross my mind as being a temptation. And vice versa. We must remember that, and that ease in life does not necessarily encourage faithfulness. We noticed that with Solomon this morning. Let me ask you this, my friend. How many of us would like to run Paul's race? We've spoken in last week and the week before of the sufferings of Paul in that Christian race. Or how many of us would like to run Stephen's race, Acts 7:53 through 60? He was stoned to death. How many of us would like to run the races of the first century Christians who faced such brutal persecution? And yet, what do we see of them? Faithfulness. They finished those races. They finished them with all that they had. You see, they proved faithful, unlike the Laodiceans of whom we read in Revelation chapter 3. Friends, our track is anywhere we may be. It may be at home. It might be at work. It might be at school. It may be in recreation. Wherever we may be, that's the Christian's racetrack. Let's be mindful of that. But then, number six, this is the most unusual race because of the spectators. We read in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, the Hebrews writer saying, "Wherefore, seeing we are also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." See, the previous chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, is also known widely as the Hall of Faith. The Hall of Faith. Friends, you see, sitting on the sideline watching us run this race are men like Moses and Abraham, Elijah, Jesus Christ. Here are these men that have lived faithfully and women that have lived faithfully. Friends, there are no divided loyalties among them. Everyone is pulling for me to win. No one is hoping for my defeat. And we compare that with the world of sports, friends. You go to a game, you go to a race, and everybody's pulling for someone else. Friends, when we think of this Christian race, they're pulling for all of us to win. Every time another person obeys the gospel of Jesus Christ, friends, the angels in heaven rejoice. They're not hoping that person is defeated in life. But friends, they're pulling for them to get to heaven. And then finally, the Christian life is an unusual race because it offers the greatest prize. The winner of an Olympic race gets a gold medal. The Olympics first started, they got a crown of olive branches to be placed upon their head. The winner of NASCAR gets a trophy. The winner of the World Series, they get a trophy and a ring, a piece of jewelry. The winner of Super Bowl, same thing. They get something temporal, friends, but when we think of the Christian race and the prize that is offered by God Almighty, friends, we learn of a prize that is greater than anything man has to offer. It's greater than Publishing Clearinghouse and all other sweepstakes put together. No man can offer anything comparable. Friends, heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. You're not going to get to heaven if you're not prepared. We must be prepared. It's a prepared place for prepared people. Matthew 25, 31 through 34, we read there that it is prepared for His followers. And Hebrews 11, 8 through 10, and verses 13 through 16, when we look at the Hall of Faith and these faithful men and women, it said of them that they were looking for a city not made with hands. They were looking for a country to which they could go, not temporal but eternal. Friends, are we looking for that city today? Are we running the race with that prize in mind? Is that the goal that we have? In Hebrews chapter 13, in verse 14, we read, "For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come." Are we seeking that city? Are we seeking after that city? In a manner of speaking, we have in Revelation 21 and 22 a faint description of heaven, friends, but that doesn't even compare to what it's actually going to be like. Because that's put in man's words. Friends, the Christian life is a most unusual race as well, because one can fall out and get back in. You know, falling down invariably leads to defeat, and quitting ensures it. In the Christian race, however, you can get back in after years of being out. Let's put away our Bibles. Let's take out our songbooks, ready to sing the invitation song in just a moment. There's a question that we must ask tonight, the question that we must answer for ourselves tonight, is where are you? Where are you in your race to heaven? Are you even running at this point? Are you running in the wrong direction? Are you running, my friend, according to the law of God? Friends, if you find yourself on the outside looking in, don't be a spectator any longer. But obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Get in the race. Run the right way. Run according to the law of God. For it's in that law that we find the rules according to which we must run. He tells us there that we must obey His gospel. And to do that, friends, we must believe in Him. That is Jesus Christ, who came to this earth. He bled and died for our sins, your sins, my sins, the sins of the world. Friends, would you obey His gospel tonight? Would you be His? Would you confess it? Would you repent of your sins, confess His name before men, and be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of sins? Would you do that tonight? Friends, are you here having done that? Have you fallen out of the race? Friends, would you begin running once more? You see, all that is required for us to do to win this race is to finish it. You just must cross the finish line. Revelation 2 and verse 10, we read there, "Be thou faithful unto death, even to the point of death, and you'll receive a crown of righteousness." Friends, would you win that crown tonight? Would you come home? Would you be His? Would you run that race and run it faithfully? If you need to obey the gospel, if you need to repent of sin, would you come now while we stand and while we sing?